った時期、それでも今日も生かされてるってことは What's going on? まださやり残してんだろう。修正をしようもない日々の中でも What's going on? 人とは違う富と
What is up, dudes, dudettes, and all my beautiful people of the interwebs? It is Saturday, so you know what that means. It is time to go beyond. Welcome to the United States of Smash with the Smash Podcast. I gotta say, guys, it's good to be back. Sorry that we run into some issues, but we got announcements for that. So that way y'all are aware of what's going on here on going forward and everything in that regards. But I hope y'all are having a wonderful day. Just a quick heads up. We are going to have some people running in late because even when you give people a time, everyone still never follow that damn time. So it happens all too much with these crew of frauds. So we just do what we got to do. So one of our members will be a little bit late, but it's okay. It's okay. But as you can see, guys, we're now doing this on multiple platforms. We're trying to stretch out and get around to other places. So there's a lot of things in the work, and I'm glad that everyone's here checking it out and everything like that. So, guys, trust me, y'all gonna like all of this. Y'all gonna like everything that I'm working on, everything that we got coming here for y'all. So you know, I'm just glad everyone's here. I'm just glad everyone's here and stuff like that. But let me go ahead and get off with one of the first topics that need to be mentioned and stuff for you beautiful people is that as of today, we finally did lock down a brand new time for the show. We've been kind of all over the place lately. But from now on, we are going to be going live at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. So we are going to be locking this down because it makes the most effect of everyone's schedules, gives us the most amount of time and stuff like that. Soul's still going to be out for a little while he's working with school and things like that. But don't worry about that because the fact that we do got something special for y'all in that regards. And the fact is, when he comes back, it'll be a great team to have our resident artist back with us. But I got something else special for all of y'all. As of today, we are going to be introducing a very special guest who's making a second appearance on the show, but has become a really good friend of mine and everything like that, and a friend of the shows. But as of today as well, he will be joining us permanently and becoming one of our official new members that we've had on the panel. As you know, it's always been me, the Anime King, Bloody Knox. Of course, we also have our Comic Book King, which is Soul, and our resident artist. We have our Vegeta Defender himself, who's currently out today because of the fact that...
Vegeta Defender?
Yeah, that's right. The Vegeta Defender himself. Everyone knows that Super G loves Vegeta more than anything out of Dragon Ball, and he will defend Vegeta to the day he dies.
No, because I'm a Vegeta hater, so that's...
Oh no! Oh, shit. Oh, no. Hey, G, you're going to have to fight him out on this one, man. You're going to have to fight him out on this one. But not only that, we also have our resident One Piece expert. Which is Operation Oppo, who's running late like always because that boy is never on time. He's also our resident fraud because he's, you know, 10 years behind on all anime that exist. And now, guys, to introduce you, as you heard him already laughing and giggling over here, our newest member and the resident Japanese expert, and by Japanese expert, I mean the man can actually speak Japanese, our friend Kofi. What's going on with you, my man?
What's going on, man? Thank you so much again for having me on this podcast. Podcasting is very new to me. I really have just stepped into the scene this year. I love anime. I'm a little bit of a fraud myself. I've watched a lot of anime up until like the last couple of years. I've been putting in the work to catch up with the copious amounts that comes out every season. Video games drove me to study Japanese. That was 6.5 years ago, and I used a technique that is very common in the YouTube interwebs called the mass immersion approach, or all Japanese all the time. I could probably shout out the owner of that channel, but I'll leave that for another time. And it's just become part of my lifestyle. Now, everything I do, there's going to be Japanese somewhere involved. So it's amazing. And, you know, I'm here to hopefully share any sort of passion that people may want to, you know, learn Japanese, or, you know, learn Japanese through anime. Let's do it.
Hey, man. Hey, what's going on there, Kliss? I see you over there joining in the chat. How you doing, girl? Also, I don't know if you saw, but G says you don't want none. He said he's glad for you to join, but you don't want none against his Vegeta stance. But yeah, man, it's great. It's great to have you on. It's great to have you back, and glad for you to be joining us. And as you heard, he does say that he does studied with what's called all Japanese all the time. Basically, you're learning it, writing it, seeing it all the time, learning in every little aspect, small increments over time, but getting adjusted to it, and doing everything that you can with how it comes up. And it's because of the fact that he actually did it, he actually recommended that I do it, and it's actually how I've been learning a lot. Especially for everyone who knows, the Anime King watches any and all anime that's going on, and I've learned quite a bit of Japanese on myself. I've also learned from a lot of different animes and from a lot of different songs from the artists who do openings and endings. I go out, learn those songs, and actually learn how to pronunciate a lot of the songs because of the fact that I actually want to learn how to sing them. And me and Kofi were actually talking earlier, and he was actually surprised that my pronunciation on a lot of different words and a lot of different... the way that you would pronounce a lot of them, he says that my natural pronunciation is almost exact on how a natural speaker would say it. And he was amazed by that. And I'm just like, I go out, read the Romaji, figure out how it's pronounced, how it's read, and just basically learn how to repeat it. And then I start learning some of the kanji over time. But he was rather impressed with some of the music that I was going off with earlier. Ain't that right, Kofi?
Absolutely. Yeah, you were kind of making me surprised. I thought you were playing a recording of a character from a game.
Yeah,
you were yelling out some like you were saying destruction. So I was impressed. Yeah, I could tell that you listen to a lot of anime, and you know the inflection, you know how to deliver the passion. So that's really exciting, man.
Yeah, so I'm glad to have you join in here with us, man, and being a part of everything with the crew. And guess who finally decided to show up? I mean, he's only a few minutes late, but I mean, this boy's never on time as it is. What's up with our resident fraud?
That's bull. I ain't gonna respond to that. That's bull.
What's going on with you, op?
Nah.
Hey, I called you a resident One Piece expert. I gave you that, all right? You just never here on time. Be honest, you're never on time.
Fine.
This boy over
here. Yeah, I was just chilling over here. Finally got my button here as well. It's been rough, you know.
Ah, what happened with your audio, bro?
Well, what happened?
You cut out for a second. Go repeat yourself.
I'm just over here chilling. Just try to keep up with everything and whatnot. Take it one day at a time.
All right, I'm glad to hear that. Anything new going on with you? Guys, we have a wonderful set of news and stuff like that today. But before we get started with all of our topics, I do want to ask what everyone's been doing. Kofi, anything that you've been reading, anything you've been watching, or anything that you've been doing that you would like to share with everyone, and especially let them know a little bit more about you, since many people don't know you since your last visit, and now that you're going to be becoming one of the Smash crew, I think everyone should get to know you.
Yeah, so I'm a really big gamer. I love anime, but as of recent, I've been playing a lot of games. So right now, just to give you a quick, run through, I'm in a bit of a renaissance in my gaming life, because growing up, I played a lot of JRPGs, and I slowly found that certain JRPGs I loved were not being localized into English. So I took a huge detour to learn Japanese for like over a half decade, and I'm just exiting that study period and now enjoying the language, playing all the import games that I couldn't play that are kind of now getting localized around this time. Like Bloody and I were talking about Phantasy Star Online 2 finally getting localized, but I've been playing since last year, just kind of celebrating finally me getting to the level where I can enjoy the language. So Anime, I love it, but I just haven't had the time to really watch it. So, like some of the most recent, I've been watching a show, what's it called? It's something about like these guys are stuck in a prison, and it's
Prison High School.
I think it is Prison High School, and I find that hilarious. But I'm only a few episodes into that, and Blood Orphans, Gundam Blood Orphans, the first season. Iron Blood Orphans, and there's one other one that. Oh my god! Oh, I finished One Punch Man season 2, so I did get through that.
Okay,
that was good.
You got through season 2. All right, nice. What'd you think of it?
I liked it a lot. I mean, going from the antagonist position, like the hero hunter, I liked that because we know that One Punch Man basically can't lose. To see like the situation from I'm forgetting his name. What was like the
Gato?
Yes, to me, it was a nice little underdog story. Of course, anytime he ran into Saitama, it was lights out. But I really enjoyed it, and I'm a Genios fan, so Genios didn't get like the best arc. But hey, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, so. Poor Genos. Genos never gets any slack, man. He gets his ass whooped every time he goes anywhere. Poor boy. But yeah, I agree. I like the second season because of the story arc following Gato and everything. Because the fact that it was interesting following him and everything that he did. Right. It was very, very interesting seeing his come up as the hero hunter and kind of seeing him from all sides of everything that was going on. So it was really, really interesting.
Yeah, he's about to take a huge L at the end there.
Oh, absolutely.
Lucky.
Absolutely. That is without a doubt. All right, cool. So you said that you play a lot of Japanese games, and me and you are both, as everyone knows in the gaming community, that I am the Japanese enthusiast. I am very much prominent for wanting to vie for Japanese games on the Xbox platform. And very supportive of that. And me and you actually talked, you actually came on the show before E3, and we actually talked about Phantasy Star Online, seeing how that would be a big surprise if it came out for Xbox. And lo and behold, we called it that Phantasy Star Online 2 is coming out.
I forgot.
Yeah. We were literally saying, what surprise? And you said, what would be awesome to see is like Phantasy Star. I was like, dude, if they did a Phantasy Star, that'd be great. And one week later, lo and behold, they announced Phantasy Star Online 2 coming first on Xbox in the spring. And we both collectively lost ourselves when we said, yo, we called it.
Yo, I was, I think I was doing something with my son at the time. I was on a live stream with a guy from FC's podcast, and I started clapping, but nobody saw my reaction because I happened to have stepped away. But I was like, oh my gosh, they're actually bringing back Phantasy Star. I did not see it. I didn't believe it, though we thought it was so cool as an idea.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy that it was coming back. But I'm glad
and
that
really quick, I just want to throw it. Just yesterday, I want to say that Phantasy Star just announced a new class being added to PSO2.
Dude, that's even better. Like, holy crap, man. There's so much
good stuff.
It is good stuff, dude. There's so much going on and stuff with everything that's coming out. And I'm glad that it is. Like, honestly, I'm so glad that everything is coming out the way that it is. And I honestly, dude, once that game comes out, is a done deal. I'm going to be streaming that like all the time. Never be off of it. Going to be all over the place. The only game I play, straight up, no lie, no cap.
Heck yeah.
But all right. I'm glad, man. I'm glad to have you on board. I'm glad to let everyone know a little bit of your history. So it's just great to have you around, man. It's absolutely wonderful to have you here with us. Now, App, you fraud. What have you been watching? What have you been reading lately? I know you've been reading a lot, and I know you ain't watching much, but what have you been watching? Besides One Piece.
I started Vinland Saga a while ago. Some cop was that now.
Oh.
I'm probably going to start a manga this week or so.
Oh, nice.
I would be cop on My Hero, but they don't want to post it to the damn chapter. I'm really about to take a hiatus from that series together because I'm getting tired of these weekly short chapters.
Oh no. He said he's tired of the weekly short chapters.
I am tired of it. Like, I understand it, bro. Like, it's difficult. Get left out on the wind right here. As far as other manga, One Punch Man, I don't think they post anything. the new chapters for that as well. What else is there? One Piece, I don't remember anything new coming out.
Nothing new.
I think I already got a couple of that as well. There's a couple I'm reading right now. I gotta remember the names of them.
Well, here's the question.
I'm gonna start some new series this week as well.
Oh, you're gonna start a new series? What are you gonna be starting?
I'm gonna butcher the name. Yu Yu Hakusho?
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh, classic.
Classy.
I'm gonna start that. I'm also gonna start. What's the name of it? It's another one because you told me about it. I wrote it down. The name escapes me, but there's a couple going to start this week as well. Just getting knocked off my list.
Well, what are you gonna be starting? Which one was it?
That was on my list again because I don't remember.
Check the list.
Fairly old. Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
I'm just gonna take a shot in the dark, like Outlaw Star or something like that, like a classic.
Mm. No, Samurai Champloo.
Samurai Champloo.
If that's it for me, most of the part.
Okay, that's cool. So you said that you started Vinland Saga. Vinland Saga is amazing. What are your thoughts on that?
It is really good so far. Like, I wasn't expecting much. I know you're hyped up, like, eh. You're going to a little cautious, but like, so far, bro, it's been pretty dope for me. I thought I was going to be annoyed with his son. His name escapes me right now. I'm pretty sure one of y'all remember it as well.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but it's escaping me right now, too.
I thought he was going to be annoying, but like right now, like I feel for a little man. Like I legit feel for him right now. So I'm pretty close to everything he's doing right now. But other than that, everybody, I'm enjoying the show so far.
Well, that's good. That's good.
This week as well.
So other than all that, is there anything else that you've been reading or catching up with lately? Anything that that attracts your attention or anything like that?
Nothing unordinary. I do know I need to start back up on Demon Wonderland, the manga for that, because I fell off on it some time ago.
Yes, the manga. You absolutely need to do the manga, not the anime, because the anime is a bull trash.
I know. Y'all already told me about that. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Yeah, I told you about that one because of the fact that's the best option that you could do for that series, like straight up. And of course, for me, I've been actually keeping up with everything that's been going on. Right now, I've been binge watching. I've been binging the hell out of Hinomaru Sumo. And dude, I love it so much. I'm so mad that it went under my radar for so long. Or that I had it, but I just never got the chance to sit around. Gives me a much bigger appreciation for sumo wrestling. Dude, there's something about sports animes that has a special magic. Right? Because every time you watch a sports anime and it gets you because of the story, the love of the sport, and the character's writing, it really makes you appreciate that sport when you see the way that they portray it. Because the fact that, like, you have Kuroko's Basketball, which basically turns basketball into a battle shonen, right? Or you have a classic like Slam Dunk, which is all about the love of basketball, which isn't as intense or visually appealing as Kuroko's Basketball, but it still has a great story about the way that it portrays basketball. You have Ace of Diamond with its love of baseball, because for people who don't know about the culture, the Japanese absolutely love baseball as much as Americans do. Like, straight up, they are the only ones who love baseball as much as Americans. And, you know, you got others like Haikyuu, one of the biggest sports animes out there, all about volleyball, about boys volleyball. You have, what else is another big one that's escaping me? There's just so many. There's just so many different ones. There's so many.
There's Major, right? There's another baseball one.
There's another one, but I can't think of it right now. But when it comes to just thinking about sports animes, dude, when it's done so well, you really appreciate it. Look at Yomowashi Pedal, for all about biking, right? But about bike racers and stuff like that. Talking like things that you would expect of like the Tour de France, and it's really, really well done as well. That's another one. Like it's
one of my favorites.
It's crazy how good boxing animes. All right, you go, but look back. Look at Hajime no Ippo, one of the oldest and best boxing animes around. And then and then you see the new one that came out last year that we all gush about, Megalobox. Oh my god, Megalobox is so dope.
Really?
Yes.
I got like to episode 2, and then I didn't get through. I need to go. I love the ending song. for that anime.
Dude, what's it called? The ending song is great for it, but the opening song is so hype for it. I absolutely love Megalobox. And Megalobox was special to me because of the fact that I grew up as the son of a boxer. You know, I boxed myself. I learned how to do that growing up. So Hajime no Ippo had a special spot. But Megalobox, with its visual style going back to reminiscent of early 2000s style animation from like Trigun, Cowboy Bebop, and Samurai Champloo, that style of animation, that look, very, very aesthetically pleasing. And then having that wonderful hip-hop soundtrack to it. Dude, it is amazing. I love that sports animes are starting to make a comeback. Because when they're done well, it gives you such an amazing appreciation of those entire, you know, genres, those entire sports and everything that surrounds them, dude. And you learn a little bit about them. You absolutely learn quite a bit about the sport itself. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I learned about sumo wrestling from the training and everything about the culture around sumo from watching Hinomaru Sumo, and it gives me a much bigger appreciation. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Yeah, I was just looking up pictures of Major, and so I haven't seen Ace of the Diamond, but Major was really, really good to me. I definitely finished the first two seasons, I think, before he got older. But I think there's a couple seasons I never even knew existed. I don't know. Look
up this. Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's one of those things.
You ever watch Free?
I have not watched Free.
Yeah, neither have I. Just curious.
Yeah, but it's amazing to see that these things are making the comeback. But I've been absolutely watching a lot. Like, other than that, I've been keeping up with Fire Force. Fire Force is amazing. I love where it's already getting to right now, and it's so action-packed. Of course, what else?
Watching the anime?
Manga? No, the anime. I was like, I need to start the manga. Okay. I was like, because of the fact, for those who don't know, man, I love Fire Force because it's done by the author who created... Soul Eater. Most people don't know
that's
that.
Right. It's by the team of Soul Eater.
Honestly, right now, I read the manga. I'm caught up. I prefer to pick up. So the best option is watch the anime. Yeah. Like, it takes a good while. Like, we're talking Boruto. Good while to pick up.
No, that's not good. I don't like the.
It's not dull. It's not as dull as boring as Boruto in the first beginning, like the first half of it.
Yeah.
Stuff starts wrapping up gradually.
Yeah. But I was starting to watch it on Netflix, and then I think I got distracted, so I need to go back to that.
I mean, I totally understand that. But, you know, there's a lot. There's a lot that's going on, and a lot of things that's really coming through and stuff like that, man. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy with the way that things are coming out, especially this season. There's so many good things this season besides Fire Force. I'm also watching Demon Slayer still going, and Demon Slayer's so good, man. The last episode for last week, I haven't watched today's episode, so I'm a little bit behind, but last week's episode was beyond phenomenal. The animation in that was just so beautiful, man. So beautiful, and it's crazy. Absolutely crazy and breathtaking the way that it came out. Like, I absolutely loved that show. Like, that show is absolutely amazing with everything that it's doing and everything that's going on with it. Yeah, it's something else. It is absolutely something else.
From a visual standpoint, that is the best fight, in my opinion, in anime as of right now. From a visual standpoint, not from choreography.
Yeah, dude.
Stuff like that, but just visuals alone.
The visual animation have... the visuals in that have been beyond amazing. It's so beautiful. That is an amazing adaptation, visually appealing. It is literally one of the best out there. Like, so good. Like, nothing compares to what's been going on with that show. Like, honestly, it is something else. And then currently else that's running right now that I've been watching a lot of, even if it's for my daughter, I would even defeat a demon lord. That one is actually surprisingly good. It's a little bit of a slice of life, but I love it because of the fact that the main character, the daughter, Latina, Oh my gosh, she's so precious. It's hilarious. It's funny. It has its serious moments, but it's been really enjoyable. It really has been something that's different and fun, and I've been enjoying the hell out of it. What else? I've been watching Magical Senpai. I'm guilty of that. Magical Senpai has had me dying laughing. It's a short form anime, but it's been hilarious to watch. What else? Season 2 of Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon. I've absolutely been loving that. That I've been so waited for season 2. It was way too long for it, but I'm glad that it's finally here.
I'm shocked that one was so well reviewed.
Yes, dude, it's been so...
I didn't know what to expect.
Dude, it is so good. It is honestly wonderful, and I'm so glad that it's finally back for a second season. And I'm gonna say this one right here. This is gonna be the one where I'm super guilty about that I enjoy this, but you know what? I don't care. Do you love your mom in her two hit multi target attacks?
What? That's an anime? What the heck? See, I'm so behind.
Yes, it is an anime. It is so bad, but I love it, and I don't care. It is
hard path right there. Okay.
That no, you know what? You fight me. Fight me, okay? I don't care.
I'm gonna fight you. That trash anime is fighting for me. I'm good.
You know what? I don't care. It's a wonderfully ridiculous isekai ish, but it's enjoyable. I honestly love it, and it's okay. There's a lot that's out this season, and I'm glad that everything that is out is out. And you know, I don't care. There's so many good things that I absolutely have to make sure that I keep up with everything, because if I don't, then what kind of anime king would I be?
True.
A fraud, that's what I would be. And I don't know about you, but I'm no op. Oh, Isekai Cheat Magician is the other one I've been keeping up with, besides throwing shots at op, because we all know that he's a fraud. And I'm
who has to finish one piece. The anime king, get out of here.
Sir, have you caught up or even attempted to watch any of Detective Conan?
Ain't even worth it.
Oh, you're not worth it. Get out of here.
Is there any plot development or is he slash live episodes?
Mm-hmm, that's what I thought. Uh-huh. You don't love a good murder mystery. You don't like a good murder mystery. Get out of here.
Your plot development and progression in those episodes, or is most of it worthless?
Whatever.
What about the Conan movies with Lupin the Third?
They have so many. He's done so many crossover movies with Lupin the Third.
Because Lupin and who is it? Goemon is like little samurai, like right hand man. Yeah. Oh man, those guys are so cool.
Oh dude, I love Lupin the Third. But this guy don't even know Lupin the Third either, so he can't say nothing.
I actually do know Lupin. I watched my movies when I was younger. So you can cut that shit out right now.
Let's see. Whatever you say. All right, guys.
I assume that will help you.
You know what? Up. I got something just for you. You want to see this, right? Right? I'm done with you. All right. You, sir, need to get out of here. You're done. I hope you're watching the video because of the fact that I have the Infinity Gauntlet. All right, boy. I'm about to snap you out of here. You're about to get up out of this chat. I will not take no disrespect.
The corniest shit I've ever seen.
No, this was $150 well spent.
Worse, because Endgame was trash, so you really didn't do yourself anything.
You know what? I don't care. You know what? You get out of here right now. You get.
That's a selfish fail. Next topic.
You know what? Everything's A-okay. Everything is A-okay. This boy.
You pull it at Walmart point. Let's get on the topics.
No, no, no. You will not tell me what to do. You will not tell me what to do. You fraud. Get out of here. I'm gonna hold this for the rest of the show just because I can. All right, right. Whatever. We're about to get on with the topics. Oh man, I'm sitting even the wrong hand. I can't. I gotta use my left hand over here. All right. So let's get on with the topics. Says this boy wanted to talk now. All right, so guys, let's start with the garbage that we had to talk about, and that is Dark Phoenix. Oh man, oof. So, just recently, about 2 weeks ago, Dark Phoenix ended its theatrical run here globally, and it ended its theatrical run as the lowest grossing X-Men movie of all time, ever. It only pulled in, for its domestic total, $65 million. That's less than half of what the Wolverine. That's less than what half. That's less than half of what the Wolverine made, and a lot of people did not like the Wolverine, which was at $132 million, which is the second worst in the franchise. It made $250 million worldwide, but you know, that's
okay.
That's still
okay, my bad. I thought you meant worldwide. It made $65 million.
Like, oh no,
it cost to make though.
No. Yeah, that's domestic. But even still, it's still at $250 million globally, which is behind the original X-Men film, which is at $300 million, which was, you know, released in theaters 20 years ago. And that's adjusted for inflation. So that lets you know just how bad this film was. And you know what's even worse about this when the film came out is that it got no love or support from Disney. Apparently Disney themselves didn't even share it or support it or really want to advertise for it. And this was after the pulling in everything from the Fox buyout or you know, merger and everything, that Disney wanted to do no support for Dark Phoenix, which is honestly the best thing that they could have done, because Dark Phoenix, since they announced it, was hot doo-doo, straight up. Honestly, the X-Men should have stopped after, really, realistically, after Days of Future Past, but especially after Apocalypse, because Apocalypse was not that great, and Apocalypse was absolutely depressing all the way around, but what they did with Dark Phoenix was even worse. The fact that they put that film out, and even the cast and crew before the film came out were not feeling hot for it, just kind of shows the feelings about this film and the belief, everything like that. So, what you know what? I'm going to go to you, Kofi, first, since you're our guest on this. What are your thoughts on all this?
This is the only X-Men film. This is the only X-Men film I haven't seen. I am a hater of most of the X-Men films. Now, Days of Future Past, great film. First Class, great film.
I love First Class.
I'll try to be as positive before I get upset. X2, X-Men United, I really enjoyed that movie. I don't know how controversial that one is now. The other ones are either okay or just horrible. Like X-Men The Last Stand, I think it's one of the worst films ever. Oh,
Logan's not included in this, right?
Right. Okay, yeah, Logan's not included. I actually didn't even see The Wolverine, right? With the one where he was in Japan. I didn't even watch that.
Don't bother.
Alright. I like the Wolverine, alright. It showed him lose the adamantium claws and go back to having his bone claws and stuff like that. And it did introduce Yuko, so that it did do that.
Okay, I guess I can give some credit for that. But like, my biggest issue with this series of movies is it's like Wolverine, the main character, and everything else that revolves around him. So when you look at other significant characters from the comic book, they're not given the same level of respect as they were written as. For example, Scott Summers. Scott Summers is cannon fodder in most of the series. I'll give you a really good example. In the original X-Men film, Wolverine took Scott Summers' car to drive it, right? And as soon as he makes Scott Summers, who's with him, sit in the back seat, right? Because he's weak. And as soon as he starts the car, Backstreet Boys plays. You know, Scott Summers leans forward and goes, you know, I really like that song. He's literally written to be a crappy character. Literally designed to boost up Wolverine so that he cannot be important. Once again, in X-Men The Last Stand, he kisses Jean Grey, and then he's not in the rest of that film. And so when I saw the trailer for Dark Phoenix coming up, so I've already riding on this, where characters who are typically poignant get dumbed down, and they're out in space, and Scott Summers starts yelling out Jean Grey's name. Like, Jean, don't know. Where is she? I'm like, nope. They're making them whack again. They're making them trying to look. There are just too many characters that are not respected. The reason I like the MCU outside of X-Men is typically if you follow any one character, there are highlights that you can appreciate. One, I'm an Ant-Man fan. I'm a I'm obviously an Iron Man fan. He gets his highlights, but like I'm a Black Panther fan. So, for example, watching Civil War and having Black Panther just randomly be there but be badass was exciting. And they just don't do that in the X-Men films that well. So I'm so glad this is all getting scrapped. Fox can just, you know, kick rocks, and now we can have Disney and Kevin Feige do it justice. I know that he will. Well, I'm really hoping, because it'll shock me if we can see more characters do great things, not just, oh gosh, I'm sorry, what's the name of the speedster on the mutant side?
Quicksilver.
I mean, Quicksilver was obviously OP, so I'm not worried about that. But there's just other, like, Jean Grey, do not give me the, oh my gosh, I have this hidden power and now I need to murder everybody. Don't do that arc ever again. Just stop. All right, I hate it. Last Stand. I don't want to see Dark Phoenix. So, I'm glad that that can kind of die, because I know they don't want to do that a third time. There are infinitely more interesting paths to go on. Obviously, like, we can have a collaboration between X-Men and possibly Fantastic Four and whoever is going to survive the MCU after the snap and, you know, everything with the Infinity Saga. So, yeah, rambled a bit there, but I just needed a big reset, because Days of Future Past is the last great X-Men film. But it was, again, it was mostly about Wolverine. Mostly, right?
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. No denying that, without a doubt.
So for me, I just think
perspective to have, because I never really thought of it that way. Like, Wolverine, like, I knew he was a focal point of it.
Dude, he was the focal point of every single X-Men film. Let's be honest. He was the focal point of every X-Men film since basically the first film. I was like, Hugh Jackman literally had the most amount of appearances in any out of any superhero film. He has more appearances than any other actor. And he played the same character longer, because he was doing it for almost, 15, 20 years? Like, way back when the first X-Men film came out, back in 99, almost 2000.
Yeah, and
he was in every film. I was like, the only film he wasn't in was technically Apocalypse. But he even
I knew he was a focal point, but like, as far as like the other characters be like just dumbed down, that part actually never really caught on to me. So I'm really glad Kofi broke that down, because I actually really never noticed that until you brought it up today. But go ahead, B.
Yeah, man, it's kind of crazy to think about that's honestly what Fox did, right? That's what Fox did to basically what Fox did to the X-Men, and it's sad. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm glad that we got some of the good films that we did. You know, I liked Wolverine. Not everyone did. All right, I liked the Wolverine, but look at what we got. We got Old Man Logan, right? We got Old Man Logan's story, and that was after Days of Future Past. Days of Future Past was really good, because of the fact that mixed what we had known from the Wolverine that existed to the fact of it took what they were starting with First Class. First Class was an amazing film, and I loved the new generation that they were coming up with. But they messed that all up with Apocalypse. I could not get through Apocalypse. I tried watching it. After like 15 minutes, I'm just like, no, I'm stopping. I can't do this.
Dang, wow.
And then I refused to watch Dark Phoenix. I was like, look, they did not do that right the first time with The Last Stand. I was like, I'm not doing the Dark Phoenix again, because y'all did not give this girl any growth to even sell us on why we should care about Jean Grey and the Phoenix Force.
You're right.
And the worst part about it is that they were so bad with their own continuity, they showed her with the Phoenix during Apocalypse. I know that scene. They showed her when she first went off with her powers, that it had the form of a phoenix. And now they go into space, and now she's getting the Phoenix Force going that story route, where the Phoenix Force merges with her in space. But on the last film, you showed us that she had the power of the Phoenix Force. Like, come on now.
It's ridiculous.
I'm honestly glad that Fox doesn't have the X-Men anymore, and that this film is done with. But it sucks that it ended the way that it did, but to be honest, it kind of deserved it. Because there was nothing that could have saved this film in any shape, way, or form.
Yeah, it's a shame, because like, some of the action scenes are incredible, like from the series of movies in general. Obviously, like Quicksilver fighting to get his dad out of the glass prison. I think that was in Days of Future Past, right? Awesome cutscene. Or saving everybody in the mansion, right? I think, oh no, that's in Apocalypse. Yeah, he saved everybody in the mansion in Apocalypse. That was awesome. Like, the director knew what he wanted to do with certain characters, but you can't just drop everybody else off. Again, when I saw Joss Whedon, what he did in Avengers, the original Avengers film, minus Hawkeye, I felt like almost everybody had something to contribute. And that lived on, you know, throughout the rest of the films, right? We saw, even like in Infinity War, there's like either a character contributes through fighting or a character contributes through intelligence. And I know some people don't like what ended up happening with Hulk. I personally liked it because I think he really found peace with himself instead of just smashing another thing, right? His character arc is complete, in my opinion. So I'm just hoping that X-Men can get a similar treatment, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I can definitely feel where you're coming from in that. Not everyone feels the same way, but I definitely agree with that. So that's just my personal opinion on it, right? That's just me. But hopefully we see a lot more coming from things here in the future with everything. So who knows? You know, we'll just kind of take it as it is. And if you see right there, Dragon Slayer said in the chat that he managed to watch Apocalypse all the way through and that it was really bad. He said he almost fell asleep watching it. So that should let you know just how bad it was. So
that was the one film Cyclops actually tried to do something. I'm sorry, I keep going on the Cyclops. One last thing. Y'all ever notice in the original films that Cyclops could not look at something to hit it accurately? Have you ever thought about mislooking at something? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's like...
Anyway, I'll get off that subject.
Not to make fun of anyone, but was he cross-eyed? Because if he was looking straight at something, he could hit anything.
He couldn't hit
cross
anything.
The beams. Don't cross the beams.
I don't know. He crossed his eyes a few too many times.
Oh, so bad.
But I don't know, man. Cyclops, man. They did bad with Cyclops. Let's just be honest. I was like, they did better with his brother, Havoc, than they did with him.
Facts.
All right, well, let's get off the X-Men hate, because everyone hates what Fox did with the X-Men at this point. But let's go ahead and hop on over to what we got next. And first things first is, speaking of Black Panther, you mentioned that you like Black Panther. I don't know if anyone saw this, but Black Panther, the king, has been dethroned by another king. That's right, the Lion King has passed Black Panther to become the 10th highest grossing film of all time. And that's kind of surprising because of the fact that some people really like Lion King, right? And others really don't. And it's kind of weird to think about because everything that's come out with talking about the Lion King, the live action remake, right? It's been so back and forth about how everyone's felt about this film. Whether you're an original kid or adult who saw the original way back in the day to someone who's just realizing it for the first time. And there's quite a bit of people that said that it didn't have the same magic that it did back then, whether that it didn't have, even for those who were like hoping for the nostalgia factor didn't come out there. But there's something that this film did right because of the fact that it pulled in a lot of attention. As of Thursday night, it has officially made $1.34 billion worldwide. So it has now overtaken where Black Panther was at $1.33 billion worldwide. I was like, and here's the thing, right, of it, is that out of the entirety of it, it made $484.2 million alone domestically. That's just over a third of it being here domestic. The other $863 million is all international. So there's a love of this film, and it's kind of surprising that it did. I mean, not too surprising. It's the Lion King, and you got to think about the kind of a star-studded talent they did for the voice actors. You know, you had Donald Glover, you had Beyonce, you had you know, of course, you had Seth Rogen and John Oliver. Like there's some names that really put the star power in this film. But for the actual film itself, a lot of people just did not enjoy it the way that a lot of people were hoping for. And we actually talked about this before the movie launch shop, if you remember, that we thought this was going to be a great film when they started announcing everyone that was going to be coming out in it. And it's kind of sad to see that it really didn't, or at least for the fans, maybe the critics liked it, that it didn't have the same kind of a feel appeal that a lot of people were hoping for. But what are your thoughts on it? Hearing about this.
Me personally, I haven't seen it yet, but like watching trailers and everything, try to get as much information as I can. It looks like the movie's lost its soul, lost its luster for the most part. Like, I know this is like a big criticism right now. It's probably played out by now, but like, an animal documentary with star voice actors behind the animals.
Oh,
that's pretty much how I view it at this point.
That's pretty bad.
Saying they definite because I haven't seen it yet, but like, as far as they beat out Black Panther, I mean, trash is popular nowadays, so it is what it is. I'm kidding. But yeah, it's crazy how I beat out Black Panther. I guess people, yes, there's love for it. I guess people just want, a lot of people want to see how it turn out. Adaptation as well, because previously, like, that one kind of went under the radar, no one really knew about it. Before it did, like, The Jungle Book. I think that was successful as well, so. Lately, these live-action movies for Disney, they've been working for them as well. So, they're pretty much not going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah, as far as movie quality, I can't really say anything until I watch it, but, like, I don't want to watch it at this point, because I really have no interest in it as well. I enjoyed the first Lion King. I only watched it a handful of times. I doubt I'll ever watch it again unless I have kids. But, like, as far as seeing this one, I might not even watch it. So I really can't say much more about it.
Yeah, man, that's pretty bad. And it's sad, right? Because of the fact that you would have thought that this film would have been amazing, right? That it would have been what everyone wanted, because Lion King is one of those films. I could go back and watch The Lion King and love it still. Like, it is one of those timeless classics, right? And it sucks that this happened to The Lion King, you know? Because Lion King, again, is one of those classics. It's sad to see, man. I don't know.
It's kind of sad they dethroned Black Panther, too, because, like, that movie, that's what we rally around for, a movie we rally around for months, and to see it beat out by animal documentary, I'm a little salty about that.
And it's not even starring David Attenborough. Like, if it had David Attenborough, then I'd be all okay with it. I don't know. Kofi, what are your thoughts on this, my man?
So, I typically do not like the trend Disney has gone through to remake these classic Disney films. And one of my favorites is Aladdin. I just had no interest in watching that remake or live action remake. I hear it's good, though, generally. But I did see Lion King. And you're kind of right, man. The action in the film, like when the hyenas are chasing Simba and Nala, is awesome. Okay, it looks like National Geographic. When their heads are poking through the holes and they're trying to bite them, I'm like, yo, this is like, if I was 10 years old, I'd be terrified, right? And skipping to the very end, when Scar and Simba are fighting, that looks just like National Geographic. I was like, this, you know, the animation and I'm sure the funding that they, you know, paid their animation people. Wow. Like, I would shake all their hands, buy them all beers. All of the songs, especially one song I'll highlight in a second, is just soulless. One of my favorite songs is Be Prepared. Be Prepared is like an afterthought in this film. When you remember how Scar tried to sell to the hyenas the fact that they could take over the Pride Lands, you don't even see his face in this particular adaptation.
It looked terrible.
Scar had like these eyes that made you think like he was controlling the scene. Literally, in the remake, his face, it's his back. So he's singing, but you don't see him selling this great idea of power to the hyenas. And that's a huge loss. I felt like the song was half the length, but I don't know if that's true, but it was just like, this song doesn't even need to be in here. So that was really disappointing. I also have another criticism that might be a little controversial. Beyonce can sing like no other, but her acting is too stiff. It's too stiff, okay? The moment she came and found Simba, she said, "Simba, we must go home." And I'm like, did she just really just say that like that? Like she's reading the line from a card? There's no way that I felt any sort of urgency in that. It was just like too flat. And, you know, she has an original song with Donald Glover, when they're running home. That's a great song. I think she did a great job adding, you know, a new soundtrack thing. Several other actors are great, like what's the name of the bird?
Zuzu.
And who's played by the guy who has that HBO show, right?
John Oliver. John Oliver.
Yeah, John. Yeah, I thought he was great. I think they knew exactly what they were doing, and they did the right choice with that. But man, just the fact that like most of the songs are weaker than their original version by such a leap and bound, I honestly end up walking out of the theater like, why did they remake it? I mean, for $1 billion, why not? But for the like. To elevate the experience, it didn't do that, and so that's the unfortunate part. What's it called? Simone? I'm forgetting all the names, guys. I'm sorry. Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah,
awesome. Timon and Pumbaa. They were awesome. So yeah, shout outs to Seth Rogen and whoever played Timon. That was good. So it was funny at times. The songs had some good singing in it, but weren't sold to you the way that the originals were. And the action was cool.
Yeah, I totally feel that, man. It's crazy to think about, right? It's crazy that this is how they treated this movie and this IP. And you're right, Disney is, they're on this bad thing about doing these live action adaptations of all these films. Like they just did the Aladdin one. They have this one now. I'll say this. They did good. They did great with the Beauty and the Beast one. Everyone loved the Beauty and the Beast one. That one you can't deny was good. But everything after that, I just don't know, man. I just.
Well, Maleficent. That's not entirely a live action adaptation. It's like her what, origin story?
Yeah, it's like how Maleficent, and she's got a sequel. That one's got a sequel coming up.
So there's no OG film for that. It's new, for the most part.
Yeah, like that one I understand. But it's still one of those things of, there. I don't know. It's you rely too much on what's already been established for to build up and support everything, and sometimes that just plays itself out, man.
Like it's kind of expected, because if you're doing live adaptation with animals. Of course, animals in real life can't exuberate the same expressions humans can. So, of course, the singing, the expression, the more vivid expression they showed throughout the original, they can't translate over to the live adaptation. It's not going to work. So, compromise had to be made, which is why we got this scene with Kofi said, like, Scar was singing to hyenas, but we saw the back of his head. We didn't see his face actually singing. Things like that. It was a tough choice to make, but it was like, it's expected because there are limitations with what you can do with live adaptation. So some of stuff was expected, but still, it was still disappointing just to see it happen for a lot of people as well.
Yeah, I just I don't know, man. It's kind of disappointing that this is what happens when nostalgia becomes too prominent and they try to sell you what you experienced before and it doesn't have the same magic. Whether it's from growing up or the fact that it just doesn't do what it did before, it doesn't have that same sense of awe. Like The Lion King had the potential to be one of the best live action adaptations, and it didn't, and that's what's heartbreaking about it, right? I don't know.
This artist, he recreated some of the scenes from Lion King, but he added like more. He added they're a little more animated.
He added the colors and like the little extra facial expressions that were in the animated film. Yeah, like that would have made that movie 10 times better, without a doubt.
And it surprisingly looks good as well. It didn't look real off-putting, like I was worried it would. But, like, that actually worked pretty well with what they were doing already.
Yeah, man, but...
Because the engineers have their talents. I'm sure they thought about that, but they probably decided not to.
Yeah, man. Sure. I don't know. It's kind of depressing that's the way that it came out. And that,
just the best point, that's what it is.
Yeah, man. It's just kind of sad that this is what that series and that movie was reduced to. I don't know, man. But it's interesting that even despite all of that, despite how everyone feels about it, it was still able to get as big as it did and overtake and make the kind of money that it did and dethrone something like Black Panther, which was a global, worldwide phenomenon. Like, when that movie came out, everyone was talking about Black Panther. Not everyone's talking about Lion King.
Yeah, you're right about that. Black Panther was airing in theaters that, like, had banned movies.
Yeah.
I remember there were some countries in Africa. But...
Yeah,
they made that one exception for a brother.
you're not lying there. You are not lying there. So it's interesting to see, man. But from there, we're going to hop on to our next topic, which is kind of an interesting topic, right? Because it's going to be two in one. So the first thing is, for those who don't know, and I talked about this a while back, is that earlier in July, that Kyoto Animation, KyoAni, as the studio is known by, was assaulted by a person who set the studio on fire, killing 35 people, and basically taking half of the studio, half of their workforce. Many amazing animators, and specifically the director who stood behind and was actually the director for a lot of the projects that KyoAni had worked on, from things like Nichijou, Violet Evergarden, and many others. And for those who don't know, KyoAni is really big about doing, is well known for their slice of life animes. But, you know, you look at things and stuff that they've done, from anything, like I said, Violet Evergarden, they worked on Nichijou, they done Lucky Star, they did Clannad, K-On, and more recently, they also did Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, which I love. Oh my god, do I love. Amagi Brilliant Park that they've done. And, you know, Love Chunin-byo and Other Delusions, things like that. Like, really classics. And specifically for one that I rave about, and that everyone here who has finally watched it listened to me, was A Silent Voice. A Silent Voice was a masterpiece. And the director who was behind some of those projects, as well as some of the animators, were unfortunately killed in this tragedy. And it was really rough for what they were going to be doing next, and how they were going to come back, you know, how they were going to come back from all this, man. There was a lot of places that were supporting there was Crunchyroll and Viz Media set up official GoFundMes to help support the studio, and after a while, KyoAni finally set one up themselves. And they were taking donations to kind of help them recover, to pay for recovery and stuff for the workers that are still there, but also to pay for a lot of the funeral expenses for those who were lost and stuff like that. They got a lot of support from the fans and others in the industry. But just recently, a few days ago, they officially made an announcement that what they're going to be doing going forward. And especially for the fact that they were going to do the world, they were having a fan event called the World of KyoAni, and it was going to be at the 11th annual Kyoto Animation Awards, right? And a lot of people didn't think that they were going to come back from this, but they made an official announcement on their website regarding the suspension of the ceremony, but what's going to happen going forward. And they said here, and this is the quote officially from them. And I'm going to read that here. Following the arson attack on Kyoto Animation that occurred on July 18th, we have received words of encouragement from many people and would like to express our deep appreciation. We have been receiving submissions from many entrants every day, and our judges were excited about the prospect of finding a novel that could be part of the new age of creative output. However, our entire staff is currently engaged in recovery efforts following the arson attack, and so we have decided to suspend the 11th Kyoto Animation Awards. Originally started in 1981, the Kyoto Animation Studio has been known worldwide for its work in creating popular television series such as K-On!, Free, Full Metal Panic, and more. It has also created a number of animated films such as A Silent Voice, K-On! The Movie, and Free, Take Yours, The Mark, to name a few. Noted as the first successful animation studio outside of Tokyo, Kyoto Animation has a long history within the industry, and we hope that the history will continue on in the future. Originally founded by Yoko Hata and Hideaka Hata, a couple who were looking to create a production studio in the early 80s, it proceeded to become an LLC in 85, and then a corporation years later in 99. One of the studio's apparent strengths, according to experts, was a sensitivity to the wonders and quandaries of everyday life. because of their love of slice of life animation. It's saying here that they're postponing everything going forward, but that they're not letting anything hold them back, and that hopefully that they recover well enough soon. I honestly cannot wait to see how they come back from everything and what they do next. Kyoto Animation has so much history in the industry that them not coming back would be a massive loss. Like they said, they are the first well-known studio outside of Tokyo. You realize how many studios exist solely in Tokyo. And for an event like this to happen to them in Kyoto, Kyoto is a big little city. It is literally the biggest little city outside of Japan. It's literally in the country. And to have something like that rock them in a city that has almost no crime, it was heartbreaking. And I'm glad that they're taking the time to focus on the studio and their workers and all the animators to rebuild. And I'm glad that hopefully they come back stronger than ever from this. I want to know your guys' thoughts about them postponing the awards and what they're going to do to come back from all this. Kofi, I want you to start up because you're the biggest person here besides me who's very heavily invested in the Japanese culture. What are your thoughts on this?
So I remember when I first heard about the fire, and I think I kind of reacted strongly to it because based on the people who had first been announced to have died, it's really one of the largest mass attacks in Japan for, I think it's like in the 50, maybe 60 years. Don't quote me on that, but it's a long time that many people have died due to an intentional attack. And it's just really sad in general. I definitely obviously think of a lot of animes I really enjoyed, like you said, Full Metal Panic. Definitely is high on the list for me. But like, you know, I listen to a lot of news stations, typically just because I enjoy hearing what's going on in Japan, and you could see it in their reactions. There's a expected tone that people who report to not, you know, to be as platonic as possible. And there were certain reporters that were not able to convey information without getting emotional. And to be honest, Twitter, Japanese fans of KyoAni or Japanese fans, I think, who were affected by this, reacted positively to that because they wanted, I think, to convey that this was serious. And that was just very interesting to see. And as a person who, yes, I'm learning Japanese, but I still have a lot to learn. So seeing like culture react to an event like this in real time was eye-opening, just to you know, how tragedy is, I guess, how you deal with it, just dealing with something shocking like that. Since the event, what you read recently, I didn't know. I kind of fell back on the current events, but definitely just like saddening. And I just remember thinking about it for a long time right after it happened. You know, I was pulling up some information, and obviously KyoAni was planning on making more anime. So I'm just kind of looking through some of the things that they were planning on creating. That would be in the plan. So there's no reason to really talk about what they would have made. But yeah. Very sad, and definitely affected me. You know, Japanese culture, I feel like, is in some way part of my life. You live there. Definitely, hurts to even see it.
Yeah, I totally feel you. How does hearing this news, I know you actually weren't on that show to get to talk about the KyoAni fire and everything, so tell me your thoughts on when you first heard about that and kind of hearing about what they're doing to kind of recover from all this.
Well, first of all, I have severe matter admiration for them to be able to push forward after such a tragedy. Like, they've lost what, half their studio?
Yeah, just about half their studio and everything.
And one of them, I'm not going to pronounce his name because I'm going to butcher it, but he's one of their legendary animators on their team as well. They lost him as well. I'm pretty sure you remember his name, but I'm not going to try to pronounce it. We have Deceit and the Elder.
Which animator? Which one? What was
Start one? With a Y. I can't remember his name.
Oh, okay. I think I might know who you're talking about, but I'd have to look through their employee.
Yeah, just seeing them just be able to push forward from this and still continue your plans going forward. Of course, it'll be shift around a little bit because of the tragic event, but see them be able to persevere through such a tragic event like this, that takes a lot of admiration. That just, man, there's not many corporations, studios, or team of people that really can go through that. Yeah. So my hat's off to them, be able to strong enough, just keep going forward. I'm really thankful for that.
Are you talking about Yamada Naoko?
I believe so.
Okay, because if you're talking about the one who did Silent Voice, that was the director.
Gotcha. Yeah, I believe it was him.
Yeah. Yamada Naoko. Yeah, that was who that was.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I was definitely taken aback when I first heard about his news. So, just seeing their plans going forward, how to reschedule the events for the World of, what was it called again?
World of Kyoani.
That's right. Just continue going forward with that. Of course, we'll be shifting around a little bit. That's great as well. So really wishing the best of luck and just my condolences to the team as well. So as far as the arson, the person who was convicted, they were able to catch him, right?
Yeah. They caught him because of the fact that he stood there outside of the building when he started the fire.
Wow, he didn't run.
So he wanted to be caught. He wanted to, you know.
Okay. Well, I guess y'all didn't know about this, so. All right, so this is where I'm going to have to pull up some of the part that really upset me and stuff. So when he started the fire, right, he had... I guess y'all didn't get all the details about the incident. So when he started the fire, right, he had cans of gasoline that he threw outside the building and lit it on fire. When the smoking started setting off on the office and people started running out, he stood out. I hate to have to talk about this again. He stood outside.
Still the office. Still in front?
No, he stood outside the office, and as people were running out of the office trying to escape the fire, he threw gasoline on them. He threw the gasoline on them as they were trying to escape the fire and caused people to burn that way.
Jeez.
I didn't even know about that part because I was for a long time wondering how so many people die from this.
Yeah, that's how it happened, was that he stood outside of the building with cans of gasoline, throwing it all over the building, and then as people were trying to run out, he threw gasoline on them.
There's some history behind this, dude, because this seems calculated and intent as well. I don't want to get too deep into it because we already discussed it.
The thing is that apparently he felt that Kyoani had stole from him, and that's what that's what it was, is that he felt that they had stole from him. So that's
Previous relationships then. Okay.
Yeah. So and here's the thing: he was a fan. He wasn't an ex-worker or anything like that. He was a fan that felt like Kyoani had stole from him. I don't know more about it because there was a lot of different things on it, but that was his motivation for all of it.
Is he still breathing?
He was caught by the police because he was staying there, and he is in prison.
Oh, man. Feed that motherfucker to the sharks. I don't care at this point. Like, I really don't.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, it's still hard to talk about, even though, man, it's only been a month since this event, but I don't know, man. But you know, to kind of cheer things up, right? About how they're coming back from all this. Is the fact of, besides the fact that right now that they are currently, that they're stopping the Kyoto Animation Awards and stuff like that, and postponing that to focus on what they need to do for their people, right? The biggest thing that's great about this, about what they're doing, is that one of the biggest things that they're doing to come back, and this is why I said this is going to be a two-part, because a lot of people didn't think that they were going to continue with this And this is the one that is very special to me and you because of the fact that we were raving about this come Christmas and New Year's when I watched it, and then I told you to watch it, and you you fell in love with it, right? Is that they announced earlier this year that Violet Evergarden was going to have two movie projects for the series. And this is before they announced that it was going to get a second season, which I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen with that. But a lot of people thought that they were going to push this movie aside, that they weren't going to do this anytime soon, and what was going to happen with it. But surprisingly, it's actually getting moved up, and they released a trailer for the first of the two films that's taking place in the Violet Evergarden series. And that it's going to be premiering in Japan on September 6th. They moved it up from originally when it was supposed to be premiering, I believe, in October. And it's going to run for 3 weeks until September 26th because it's getting extended to help support everything that happened after the Kiyawani situation. And I'm glad that they're still pushing through with it. I saw the trailer, and oh my God, it is so beautiful that I cannot believe that it's a side story film. Because of the fact that every episode of that series made me cry. The music and the animation in it was beyond beautiful. That I'm so glad that it's getting more, because if it did not, I would have been so heartbroken. But even if it didn't, I was happy with where it was. And the fact that it is getting more makes me happy. This trailer is absolutely wonderful. Because of the fact that it has so many things that's coming up to show more of what made Violet Evergarden so beautiful. And the fact is right now, not only that, the movie itself, the Violet Evergarden movie, is still set for premiering in January 2020. So they still have both of these films set to premiere. Jeez. And I'm still glad that they're pushing forward through these, because a majority of both of these films were already done.
Okay.
And I believe that they're still doing post-production work by the Evergarden movie, and that they're trying to get it all done, and they're sticking with the schedule. That shows the perseverance that Kiyawani has had through all this, and that their staff is returning to finish what they've done in this, because of the fact that the sequel takes place years after the war. So this is going to take place a couple years after where the series ended, so I'm going to be interested in how they do that. But yeah. The first film right now, which is called Violet Evergarden Gaiden, Eternity in the Auto Memory Stall. This is going to be a side story, I believe, sometime before the final episode of the season. And for those who haven't seen it, it's a full, all 13 episodes are on Netflix. Go watch this. Go watch it. Please do. Support Kiyawani. And go back and watch any of the series. I mean, any of them, from Violet Evergarden, K-On!, from Clannad, Nichijou, a silent voice. Please watch A Silent Voice. I believe that's also right now on Netflix as well. Go watch any of their stuff and give them any support that they deserve. They deserve so much.
And I know they had a GoFundMe going. I don't know if it's still going though.
I don't know if it still is, but if it is, go find it.
Yeah, man. Like when you first showed me the link for it, I saw a parts in the trailer. When that playing, I was like, oh, literal shivers went down my back when I heard it. Like, I love the soundtrack.
Dude, the composer for it is so talented, man. Like, so
what's his name? I never caught it.
The composer for it. Are you talking about the composer? Yeah. Or that's Evan Call. Evan Call was the composer.
Evan Call. He sounds Western.
Yeah, but
American?
I'm not sure if he is, but even if he's not, dude, like, talented composer.
Absolutely, man.
So, did you actually watch the trailer for the side story?
Yeah, I watched the trailer, man. What do you mean?
So, well,
are you good? Do you have access?
Yeah. But he did the composer for the... not only that, he was also the composer for Bodacious Space Pirates. And don't let the name fool you. It's not what you think, but Bodacious Space Pirates made me laugh way too hard. I love that series. But dude, what were your thoughts on that trailer?
was like, for the first game, I was like, finally, they're finally adding more to this series, because I really love the show on Netflix. I'm really glad you told me about it, because the first time I was like, eh, I don't know, I'm not too big a slice of life. I was like, screw it, I'm going to try it out, see how it is. And like afterwards, I came back to like, boy, shit, look.
I told you. But yeah, man. I told you, my boy.
And the fact that it's two movies as well, man, like, that's just double the fun right there, man. Like, I can't wait. Like, January cannot get here fast enough at this point, man. I'm excited. I'm definitely going to support them. If it comes out in theaters, I'm definitely going to be there day one.
Oh, absolutely.
If it's far away, I'm going to bite a bullet, drive out there and watch it, man.
Yeah, right. We're going to buy a flight and get out there to Japan. I was like, we come to Japan. Straight up. I don't care. Yeah, that'd be fun, man. And I don't care, man. $500 for a ticket. Let's go. Let's do it. We're doing it right now. Guys, donate for our tickets to Japan so we can go see this movie, damn it. But I really hope that it come when it's going to make its premierance over here in the West. Like, I can't wait for it to be low. I want it to be over here shown. I don't care. I was like, I of course I'm going to watch it if it's subbed. But, dude, the dub for this anime, literally, this dub is amazing.
The best I've ever heard, and I hate dub.
I know you do. I was like, I'll watch a dub if it's really good. I was like, but this one, beyond amazing. I watched it with my mother, all right? I watched it with Mama Nux, and she loved the hell out of it.
Jeez.
Kofi, what are your thoughts? Did you watch the trailer? Do you know anything about the series? What
so
are your
I'm blind on? To this. Yeah, you guys might have to fill me in. I'm behind.
Okay.
Take it away, B. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. So Violet all right, guys, I'm gonna give you all a synopsis about the series. So Violet Evergarden is about a young girl who was raised as a soldier to be used by the military during a war, and she served under her commander, who became her caretaker and the one person that mattered to her more than anything in the world. And when the war was over, he was thought to be dead, and she didn't know what to do after the war, because during an event, she had lost her arms in an explosion trying to be saved. And at that time, it starts up with her waking up in a military hospital, not knowing what to do. And a friend of her major's, the one who took care of her, told her that I want her to live a normal life. And when it shows her growth, trying to accommodate and really acclimate to being a civilian and not have to grow up in war. Because as a child, she was an orphan. All she knew was war. And it comes to show her growth, being able to feel things, because she takes a job as what's called an auto memory stall. And basically, an auto memory stall is someone who goes out and sits down and talks with a person and writes letters for them, because a majority of the people in this world doesn't know how to write, let alone type a letter. So these auto memory dolls are hired by people to write letters for them. And it goes to show her growth of connecting with people and really understanding what it means to have emotions and understand people's feelings and grow in this job of being an auto memory doll. And seeing her growth in it, dude, every episode, seeing the people's story, right? Seeing the people and their growth being around her alone was amazing. But seeing her growth throughout this whole series left me bawling every episode, because it was so beautiful. And Op can back this up.
He definitely made a confession to me when we're talking about it. Like, literally every episode, his nails out on the ground. Man, can't believe they did that, man. So beautiful, bro. Of course, I wasn't crying. Like, okay, this shit hard, but I ain't gonna cry over it.
He lied. He's trying to be hard right now. He's trying to be hard. He lied.
I almost cried at the end, though. I almost did.
I know, man. But, dude, every episode is just it's so beautiful, guys. I'm telling you. I can only Yeah, I can only talk about it and describe it so much. It's literally one of those ones that you have to watch, because when you see it, it will blow your mind and it will melt your heart in the best possible ways.
I like the sound of that. Yeah. Something like a good story, so.
Yeah, trust me, guys.
You guys watch it on Crunchyroll? Where do you guys watch
it? No, it's on Netflix. You can watch the whole series is on Netflix.
Oh.
Yeah, so all 13 episodes on Netflix. Go and watch it immediately.
Roger that.
Yeah, trust me, you will not be disappointed if you watch the series. I'm telling you that now. Now, for our last topic, this is something to kind of lighten up the mood a little bit. And I know at least one other person did. I don't know about the other person here. So, officially, the Sunrise in collaboration with Char Aznavi, as well as in a collaboration with the Japanese Racing Association, hosted a quiz that would allow you to talk with Carr himself, talking about your likes at a racetrack, to guess what Gundam you would pilot. And it took a little bit to get the quiz working right for me. So I actually did it again, actually this time, because it's all in Japanese, so I can only read so much kanji. So I would translate it to English, read the answers, and then turn it back to Japanese. So that actually fixed the issue that I was having with it, right, Kofi? And did the results, and it actually tells you what Gundam that you would roughly pilot based on your answers. Kofi, you want to tell everyone what you got, my boy?
I got the wackest. I think it's like 32 different Gundams end up as, and I got the wackest. I didn't even get a Gundam. I got a Zaku with a whip as a weapon. So I can't even shoot people.
You got the Zaku, you nothing but a mass-produced POS. It backfired
because like one of the questions is like, are you like a melee kind of guy or a guy balanced between the two? I'm a huge Death Scythe fan, so I was like, all right, I'll go melee. But I guess that might have hurt me.
Yeah, and I put Death Scythe right there on the screen just to make you angry because
I figured, I was like, how come he put Death Scythe up there?
I did it to hurt you.
Oh my gosh, I was so salty. I was like, they didn't even give me like, I was hoping at least like the prototype Talgies. Oh, they gave me a freaking Zaku.
I know, you got a Zaku. You are a mass-produced POS that gets wiped out by base fodder in the Federation Army, dude. Come on.
Right.
Oh. When you sent me that, you're like, dude, come on, are you joking me? I laughed so hard when I saw your post.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Because I'm like, dude, you're a Zaku. And this is for my Gundam fans and my Mecha fans out there. I love Gundam. I'm a massive Gundam fan. Oh, did you do the quiz?
Nope, because there's no point because I haven't started the show yet. So it's really, I can't even traverse the questions.
I mean, even if you don't, even if you didn't, like I said, it has nothing. The questions have nothing to do with this show. It's literally asking what you would think about, or how would you describe yourself when you're at like a racetrack and stuff like that. And then it would actually ask you stuff that would go into your interest of fighting and stuff like that.
Interesting. So what do you think I would have got if I went with it?
I don't know. I don't know your style of fighting. Like I said, it's interesting because it goes into your thoughts about how things. So when I did it right, I was doing it all in English and the buttons were being weird. And what I got was the classic, the most notable, the famous RX 07, right? I got the RX. Very, very, very famous. It's the one that everyone knows from Mobile Suit. Well, when I redid it, right, and I read the answers, went back and translated them back into Japanese and fixed the issue, guess what I got this time? And it's still beautiful. I got the MSZ-06, the attack prototype of all things. It is still a mobile suit. It's still a variation of the RX, but it's the MS-06 instead of the RX-87. So that lets you know that I like to be up in the front. I am famous. I am known. And I don't care if it's melee or mid-range. I will take you on any day of the week. How does that make you feel, Kofi? I still got everything. And you got nothing but trash.
I'm trying to go through. I'm going through it again, see if I get a better answer.
Oh, he's trying to retry. But I got the RS-06. Like, here's the thing, like, if I would have got anything, like, I was really hoping that I would have got Unicorn, because Unicorn is my favorite Gundam, because Gundam Unicorn was badass, and it was also one of the last films that we got that was in the Universal Century timeline, which is the main universe and timeline that Gundam follows through, but every Gundam is like a spinoff or a different timeline or alternate universe. Only a few of them are in the Universal Century timeline. But Unicorn is one of my favorite. And the last one that we got, actually the most recent film that I went and saw in theaters that I loved, was Gundam Narrative. Gundam Narrative was amazing. I was like, if you haven't seen Narrative, you need to see Narrative. Straight out. You need to go and see it. I'm sitting here trying to wait for Kofi to redo this and see what he gets. I'm going to laugh if he gets another Zaku.
Oh my gosh.
Did you get another Zaku?
I'm going down to the last question.
Oh, man. I'm sitting here waiting in temptation. Come on.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, okay.
Oh, this is so enticing. I can't wait to hear what he says. I just want to hear the cries of anguish. Oh, this silence is killing me.
Alright, I actually got a Gundam. I just never seen it before.
Which it's one?
SF Attack Prototype Gundam. The pilot, his name is Cole Uraki.
Oh, Cole Uraki? Okay.
I don't know, the RX-78GP-03D. I've never seen this Gundam.
Oh, okay. So it's one of the other variations of the RX. Just like the one I got, which is the MSZ-06, it's another variation of the RX-087. It's one of the alternate universe timelines of the RX.
I just tweeted that one out, but shoot. I had to re-roll for that.
That all right. This time he wasn't such a scrub, but he still got a Zaku the first time around. I just let him have his re-roll. That's all it was. I let him have his re-roll. Oh man. Well, guys, we're coming up on the end, so we do want to appreciate everyone who stopped by in the chat. It's greatly appreciated. We hope that y'all had a wonderful time with us here. And guys, just so you know, we're, as you can see over here in the restream chat, that we're literally on 3 different platforms now. Guys, we are branching out and trying to put ourselves out on as many platforms. So wherever you're coming from, make sure that you check out all the following links on where you can find us hosted. For all my YouTube people, thank you for being here on YouTube and stopping by with the crew, as always, here on the Smash Podcast. To all my Mixer people, I'm glad that y'all stopped by as well and hope that y'all check out all over. Guys, I'm going to post up the links to all of where you can find us located at, and make sure that y'all check it out. But before we sign out, guys, what are y'all doing over there? Kofi, tell them where they can find you, my boy.
You can find me on Twitter at creative_Kofi. You can find me on PSN as Maxwell1000, and on Mondays, the Vitamin G with FC Violent, Dante Crisis, Nubs, Zero, Pharaoh Bizarre. We are the crossroads for all 4 major gaming platforms, so come by, check us out. We do game giveaways, so yeah, man, it's fun stuff.
Oh, God, all right. And tell them where they can find you at, my boy.
He actually just dropped out, I think.
Wow, of course. He always does.
Really?
Every time. All right. Well, guys, you can find Op at Operation_Oppo, O-P-O, on Twitter. And, of course, you can find him here with us every Saturday on the Smash Podcast. And, of course, you can also find him over on the GRG Podcast with K-Mega 100, the legendary Lametheus, and all those beautiful people. And, of course, you're on the channel, so you already know who it is. It is I, Bloody Nux, your boisterous host with the most, the king of the Fight Club, the anime king, and the Japanese enthusiast himself. So, guys, I appreciate you all. Y'all can find me at Bloody Nux, Bloody, B-L-O-D-I-E, _K-N-U-X, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, of course, here on YouTube, on Mixer.com, everywhere you can. And, of course, you can also find us on my Linktree at Bloody Nux as well. So that way it'll bring you links to all of my social media so you can find us everywhere y'all are, man. It is greatly appreciated that y'all all stuck here with us and are here with us. And I appreciate y'all here. Like I said, we're trying to grow and do more places, do more things, and just reach out to different audiences. So whenever we're live, it don't matter where you're watching us from, YouTube, Mixer, or on Facebook, share out the stream and let everyone know about us and come out and come support you guys. It's greatly appreciated for everyone who is here with us. But guys, that's the show. We appreciate every single one of y'all for stopping by and being here with us. But until next time, guys, peace out. And check you later.
So.